Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
I'm Lisa Mullins, and this is 90.9 WBUR. The organization Embrace Boston has released a report on the history of slavery and systemic racism in Boston, and on how Boston can remedy the inequities Black residents face to this day. Embrace Boston is the group behind the Embrace statue on Boston Common that pays tribute to Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and his wife Coretta Scott King. Former Boston City Councilor and mayoral candidate Tito Jackson is co-chair of the board of Embrace Boston. He says Dr. and Mrs. King challenged us to identify and repair the harms of systemic racism. The Embrace Boston report names 7 areas to target, including health, transportation, criminal legal systems, and an area where Jackson sees some of the greatest inequities, housing.
So when we look at the built environment in the city of Boston, we can definitely think back. You know, many folks were here during urban renewal. Some people used to call it urban removal. But we do need to note that Boston does rank among the most gentrified cities in the United States of America.
When you say urban removal, describe for those people who weren't in Boston when it happened, and this is in the 60s and 70s, what went on? What was removed?
So if you ever go to Boston City Hall Plaza, people used to live there. That was Scully Square. If you ever go to where Mass General Hospital and the Boston Garden and that area of the city, that was a multiracial, multi-ethnic enclave in the city of Boston prior to the removal of the people in the buildings. In addition, my family actually wanted to live in Chestnut Hill, and they actually picked out a home that cost less than the home that they ended up purchasing in Roxbury. And the reason why they couldn't get the home in Chestnut Hill was something called redlining, which is actually what banks and actually people and political office and other areas actually determined, how they determined where someone would get a loan, hence where they would live. Hence why the city of Boston looks the way that it looks demographically today.
And the report addresses reparations, and maybe you can describe exactly what they are, because it also takes pains to say that reparations are not just financial compensation. Where would, in your view, financial compensation be appropriate, and in what areas of harm that are ongoing would some other kind of reparation be appropriate, and what would it be?
Yeah, so as you know, the study notes, there is a component of financial compensation that would come from the government for those individuals who are descendants of slaves that actually, as we know, held folks back. But we have a lot of work to do in education, for example, that would be increasing funding and ensuring that it's equitable. Making sure that our young people have wraparound services and the social services that they need for them to be actually successful in our schools. And also ending the school-to-prison pipeline as a whole is an absolutely critical component. And I think we have some also work to do in the area of the wealth gap. And the median net worth of Black non-immigrant household is $8. And the median net worth of white households in Boston are $247,500.
Tito Jackson, you have been working on some of these issues for a long time. They are all brought together in this particular report. What do you hope will come of it? I mean, do you expect it's going to move the needle? Do you expect and hope it will, I imagine you hope, but expect it will stop the harms that are going to be realized by future generations of Black residents of Boston? What do you think will come of all this?
I hope that we will see this not as only an issue for Black folks in the city of Boston. So I hope that it does definitely spark a conversation. I also hope that we can get to a point where we agree that these harms exist and they're persistent and they're real. And then I would also hope that we would agree that we need to fix them. And I would say we all should be leaning into each other on these issues so that the city of Boston can be the best, most competitive, and actually most equitable city for all of its residents. And also that we stop losing Black residents, because in the last decade or so, we've lost about 5%.
Tito Jackson, co-chair of the board of Embrace Boston, talking about a new report detailing the lasting legacy of slavery and systemic racism in the city. Tito, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.